Okay, good afternoon. Thank you all very much for being here. The 2010 legislative session was a victory for all Iowans. As a former teacher, I give the legislature an A. As a former coach, I give the Democratic legislative leaders a vote each for MVP. We're very pleased with how well the session went overall and want to give credit to the legislative leadership in particular. I also want to thank all the legislators, both Democrats and Republicans, who helped make the 2010 session so successful. On several occasions, we worked together and reached across party lines on bills, such as the one to honor former Applington Parkersburg football coach Ed Thomas. This legislation honored the wishes of his family and his community, and hopefully will prevent another similar tragedy. We worked together to save taxpayer dollars, to create jobs, and to protect our priorities. We've kept our promises, and most importantly, we have continued to work to move Iowa forward. And as other states continue to debate how much taxes will be increased, we've balanced our budget, just as we've done every year I've been in office, without raising taxes. In addition, because we made some tough decisions, we are in better shape today than just about every other state in America. We have maintained our AAA bond rating, and in 2009, we had the second lowest unemployment rate in America. The budget I will sign this year is smaller than the one that I inherited 4 years ago. There are fewer state employees working in the executive branch today than 4 years ago, and we project more than a $388 million surplus. So we are moving Iowa forward by making government smaller and more efficient. We passed the largest efficiency reform and reorganization bill in Iowa history, and combined with our cost savings executive order number 20 and the early retirement bill, Iowa taxpayers will save more than $270 million in fiscal year 11 and even more in the years ahead. Significantly, we preserve the services that Iowans depend upon, while at the same time reducing state spending 16% since 2009. We're also moving Iowa's economic and disaster recovery efforts forward. By fully funding the final $150 million for iJobs, our state jobs and infrastructure initiative, we are keeping Iowa communities safer by investing in essential flood mitigation and prevention projects statewide. Small businesses will benefit from a new $5 million small business loan program. In addition, we took steps to reduce unemployment taxes by almost $90 million to help 24,000 Iowa employers and small businesses. We will continue to lead the nation in renewable energy because we once again funded the Iowa Power Fund. This will allow Iowa to become the Silicon Prairie of the Midwest with investments in cutting-edge research and development projects, which have allowed us to produce now 20% of our power from renewable sources, up from 5% just 4 years ago. Even in the face of the most challenging national economic crisis since the Great Depression, we're moving Iowa forward by investing nearly $3.4 billion for our education system. This includes an additional $333 million in K-12 funding that I proposed in January. This means a net increase of more than $60 million in state aid for our public schools. We will also provide the final installment of our statewide preschool program to allow 12,000 Iowa kids the opportunity to attend 100 new preschools, meeting our four-year, $60 million commitment to Iowa's pre-K students statewide. We restored more than $20 million to our state universities and supported important capital projects on their campuses. We invested $16 million more in our community colleges and job training programs, and we maintained our important funding for our outstanding private colleges. We can all be proud we are moving Iowa forward by becoming the first state in the nation to enact all 10 U.S. Department of Defense Military Family Quality of Life Guidelines. This will help our soldiers and their families, especially the 3,100 Iowa National Guardsmen and women preparing to deploy later this year. The importance of these efforts was brought home to me when I visited the Iowa troops in Iraq recently, and I want to continue to keep those soldiers and their families in our thoughts and our prayers. We can also take pride in our investments in transportation, with new funding for bridges, roads, sewer, and light rail and rail port projects. We've also kept our commitment to public safety this session, with bills helping to prevent domestic violence, to require seat belts to be worn in the back seat of vehicles, and the driving while texting legislation. We lived up to our values when we maintained our commitment to children's health care in our state. We've improved access for 57,000 children since 2007 who are now getting health care, covering virtually every child in our state. We showed our Iowa compassion and optimism when we looked to make sure that we took care of at-risk high school students through funding through the Iowa Jobs for American Graduates program. We also met the needs of those that use shelter services across our state, and we invested important funds in low-income housing efforts across Iowa. Iowans with disabilities were in our thoughts when we invested in our Braille and sight-saving school and the School for the Deaf. We looked out for future generations by being good stewards of the land and protecting the lakes, the rivers, and the streams that we all love. We passed important water quality legislation, new anti-degradation rules, and helped individual landowners with important conservation projects. We honored our seniors by fully funding Medicaid, fighting to stop unfair utility and health insurance rate increases, and we created a task force to address the issues of those who have had severe strokes. And we stood firm for the civil rights of every Iowan by saying loudly and clearly that any and all efforts to add discriminatory amendments to our state constitution have no place in our state constitution. The Culver Judge Administration will always support Iowa's hardworking men and women. I was proud to sign Executive Order 22, providing much needed, good paying job opportunities to hundreds of workers through our two important project labor agreements that were recently signed. We also fully funded worker misqualification efforts that will help us with enforcement. And we required a bond for out-of-state contractors who seek to compete with Iowa-based contractors. Despite those successes, I'm disappointed that the legislature couldn't find a way to pass legislation we know now as and we know that Iowa workers need, like reasonable reimbursement, choice of doctor, collective bargaining reforms, and prevailing wage. This will not be and cannot be the end of our work. Lieutenant Governor Judge and I will continue to do everything we can to lead Iowa out of this recession, to create good jobs with good benefits for every Iowan who wants to work, and to protect the priorities that matter to Iowans and their families. I am proud of all that we've done in our first term, and it once again shows that good public policy can transcend partisan politics. In the coming months, I look forward to hearing from Iowans and to get their thoughts and ideas about the future of our state. And I want to continue to share my vision and my plan with Iowans as I travel across the state so that we can make sure we do all we can to keep Iowa moving forward. Happy to take any questions at this time.
Do you intend to sign a bill which changes the process for granting concealed weapons permits?
There are any number of bills which I will take under consideration and in some cases use the whole 30-day period that we have. So the focus obviously this week has been adjournment, getting a budget passed, and really don't have a whole lot of comments on particular bills that I haven't signed yet, other than to say that I will carefully consider every one of them.
You say you're glad the legislature did nothing to start the state on the path towards the vote on gay marriage. Are you comfortable with that position heading into an election?
I am. I think that the overwhelming majority of Iowans do not want to amend our Constitution in such a way that's discriminatory. I think that's the bottom line.
So you're politically comfortable?
Absolutely. I think Iowans want to move forward. And the Supreme Court has spoken loudly and clearly, and I think it's time to move on.
We're approaching the 1 year anniversary of that ruling. What has changed in Iowa? How do you assess the year that's followed the ruling?
There's been no significant change. I think the court has spoken, and Iowans respect the decision of the court.
Has your personal view changed in the past year or so?
My personal view hasn't changed at all. I respect the Supreme Court's decision, as I said after they came down with the opinion.
What could personal view of the marriage should be between one man and one woman?
That's what I've said, and regardless of our personal views, we have a line that needs to be drawn between the executive branch, the judicial branch, and I think Iowans are ready to move on and accept that unanimous decision.
Now that session is over and campaign season has sort of begun, I guess, today, what do you consider your biggest hurdle?
I'm looking forward to telling our story about the last 40 months in office. I've highlighted some things today that really focus on a lot of the positive things that are happening despite some real challenges that we've been through. I think the fact is we've overcome these challenges, whether related to an economic downturn, a natural disaster, the new flu pandemic. We've overcome these challenges. We've met them head on. We've come up with solutions and ideas to deal with those realities. And I think the record reflects that Iowa is extremely well positioned now. We were recently recognized as having the second best state when it comes to fiscal stability. We're one of just a handful of states that still has a AAA bond rating and a surplus. 2009, we had the second lowest unemployment rate in America, 3 points below the national average today. 32 states have had to borrow money to pay their unemployment compensation fund. They've had to borrow from the federal government. Iowa has a surplus of $350 million, and we're saving 24,000 businesses $90 million because of steps we took this session. So we have a record that we're very proud of. We've delivered on the promises that we made to the people in 2006. We've delivered on the promises I made this session, in particular, fighting to fund public schools with a $330 million commitment, which allows us to actually increase funding for our K-12 schools across the state by $60 million. So we're getting the job done under very difficult circumstances. We've made some really tough decisions, some unpopular decisions, but we're showing that Iowa is moving forward. We're recovering quickly from this recession. And a lot of positive things are happening out there related to flood recovery, related to infrastructure projects. Yesterday I was in Dubuque and Hormel announced they're going to hire 200 people. Last week I was in Johnston. Pioneer announced they're going to hire 400 people. So Iowa is strong, we're vibrant, and our future is very bright.
If you have what you consider to be a hurdle in this campaign, are you confident that you're going to win?
I am confident we are going to win. We have a record that we're proud of. We have a vision that will allow Iowa to be the best state in America when it comes to being well connected, because we're making these investments today that will create jobs short term, but long term create the conditions for additional economic development. That's why Google and IBM and Pioneer and Hormel and Aviva and so many companies have decided to either come to our state for the first time or expand their operations here. We are one of the best connected states in America. That's going to make us extremely competitive in terms of the future. And the only hurdle I have is getting out there over the next 7 months and telling Iowans about our record and our vision, instead of having other people who want to be governor tell the story for me. And I'm looking forward to that opportunity.
Governor, looking ahead, this year's budget used a lot of one-time money sources such as cash reserves or federal stimulus money. Much of that money, big chunks of that, will not be available in the fiscal year 12. Looking ahead, what does the budget from your perspective look like? Are there going to be big cuts ahead, and what are you anticipating?
Well, most importantly, the budget is balanced. It's been balanced every day that I've been governor. We also have a surplus of more than $350 million. We've reduced the size of government by 16%. Because of that, we are well positioned to have very strong revenue streams in the future. We've made tough decisions today for a brighter future tomorrow. The Revenue Estimating Conference just met. They increased the revenue projections for fiscal year 11 by $33 million. That's a very positive sign. So I do not anticipate further complications or challenges or problems with the budget, given the fact that we're moving forward. We have the eighth fastest growing economy in the country, and we're better positioned than just about any state in America when it comes to job creation and economic development opportunities. So we have weathered the storm, and things are improving. Des Moines, for example, in February had the best housing month in 4 years. Recently, the eight leading economic indicators for the first time in 2 years were pointed in the right direction. These things didn't happen by accident. They've happened in part because we've made some really tough decisions. We've reformed government. We've made it leaner and more efficient. And because of those tough decisions, I think our future and our economic and budget outlook is very, very positive. Well, we're looking forward to working closely with the Department of Health and Human Services. I'm very excited about moving forward quickly to protect 700,000 kids who will no longer be denied health insurance if they have a pre-existing condition. So there's a timetable in place. We're looking forward to notifying 50,000 Iowa businesses as quickly as possible that they could qualify for tax credits to reduce the cost of health care for their employees. So we will work very closely with the administration, with our congressional delegation, with our colleagues there to notify the general public about the changes, the positive changes that will result in because of the health care reform. I think there's a lot of information that we need to disseminate. Yes, we have to make sure that everyone understands the rules and plays by them as well. And back to your question about one-time funding, that's something that's been done for decades. It's not uncommon at all to have an opportunity to use one-time funding of any kind. But the thing I really think is critical here, the budget that I will sign is smaller than the one that I inherited in 2007, and we've reduced the size of the budget by 16%.
You talked about the fact that you didn't raise taxes, or lawmakers didn't raise taxes this session. One bill that will be on your desk, though, would significantly raise fines for traffic violations, those kinds of things. Is that something you would like to sign?
Again, I will take under consideration all of the bills that are on my desk. I also have line item veto authority if necessary. I think most Iowans would agree that criminals should pay if they break the law. And if you don't want to pay, you try not to break the law.
I noticed today you specifically mentioned union type of agreements. Do you think that the inaction of the legislature in this session will make it harder for Democrats on the campaign trail at all, given the inaction on some of these big items?
I don't. I think that our record in terms of fighting for hardworking Iowa families is a good one. For example, what we've done on worker misclassification, that's making it a much more level playing field for Iowa tradesmen and women who can now compete because we're requiring everyone to play by the same rules. What we've done to require out-of-state contractors to have a bond will level the playing field and allow those workers to earn a better living as a result, because some of these outside out-of-state contractors would come in and low bid the projects. What we've done in terms of quality of life related to education, early childhood education, making college more affordable through programs like Jobs for American Graduates, healthcare for kids, public safety steps that we've taken this session, those all benefit hardworking Iowa families. So I expect that we will have a great deal of support because those groups want to continue to move this state forward. They don't want to go backward.
Let's see, one more.
Governor, there's a group called No Casino Iowa putting out the information that you received $200,000 in campaign contributions from gambling-related interests, and suggesting that that's why you're pressing for more casino licenses. If they bring that up, what's your response to the campaign if they're saying, well, you're bought and paid for?
Yeah, apparently they've brought it up.
Yeah, so now that they've brought it up, what's your
response? It's ludicrous. I mean, I have raised millions of dollars. I've run for statewide office. This will be my fourth time. Last year we raised, I believe, more than $2 million. You're talking about a very small percentage of that that was related to gaming interest at all. Every candidate, I believe, with very few exceptions in the race today for governor has accepted campaign contributions. In fact, one of Terry Branstad's biggest contributors owns two casinos. So I don't think it's accurate to suggest that has any impact whatsoever on anything but the fact that these groups are supportive of the Culver Judge administration and what we've done to help move Iowa forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.